The ship is here now. Great new day sensation. Light and free now. Get you elevation. Enough is never enough. Enough is never enough of the stuff.
The stuff, the taste that makes you hungry for more. The stuff, the taste that delivers.
Enough is never enough. Enough is never enough.
Welcome back to yet another edition of Natsukashi. My name is Rob Rector, and with me on the line is one...
Elron.
Elron, welcome. We thank you for your contribution. Elron today is... picking out a piece of his brain from 1985. What is it?
The Stuff.
The Stuff. Directed by Larry Cohen, starring Michael Moriarty and Garrett Morris, our favorite character in the film. He played...
Chocolate Chip Charlie.
Chocolate Chip Charlie, based ever so loosely on Famous Amos. Bring us back into that time in your life. Why did this stick out?
Probably one of the first true, like, rated R horror movies I was able to see. We didn't have cable as a kid, so I didn't get a chance to see a lot of horror flicks.
Right.
So, like, when my aunt actually picked out this movie, they would, you know, watch it and then kind of leave it and kind of hide it. And we would know where they hid the movies at, and we would kind of sneak and watch it. So I remember grabbing the movie and watching it, and obviously, since it was a horror flick, that was probably about 9, 10 years old, and just the horror part of it just kind of obviously scared the heck out of me.
I remember the cover of this film, of that kind of blobbish, that face melting, kind of like on Raiders of the Lost Ark look to it, and that's what originally attracted me to it when I saw that on the DVD, or when I saw it on DVD, on the VHS box of it in the video store.
It's funny because I don't remember the cover, I just remember just the Stuff itself. The name, the Stuff. Anytime anybody said Stuff, I always thought about the movie.
What are some of the things that you remember most about seeing this when you were young?
I remember Chocolate Chip Charlie. Okay. And I remember The Stuff. Like I said, The Stuff itself, just being a substance that really was from a different, because it really never gave a description of where it came from, if it was like, you know, intelligence or anything like that. So it kinda, I remember just like being afraid of anything that closely resembled stuff. And like I was saying before, or I remember vividly, like yogurt. Stayed away from yogurt, and I didn't start eating yogurt until I was probably in college.
So you never even had a peanut butter and fluffernutter sandwich?
No, I stayed away, completely away from that stuff, man. Because of the fact that, I mean, I just vividly, that block in my brain that I mentally did not want to have a taste of that. And I believe it, I consider that in the movie.
How about pudding?
Same thing.
No pudding either, huh?
Nope, not at all.
Mayo? Hold the mayo every time for you.
Anyway, if the mayo was not visible,
okay,
that was fine. But if it looked anything like it, anyway.
No ranch dressing, no nothing.
I wasn't really a salad person, so.
A month ago, they acquired the Chocolate Chip Charlie chain of outlets on the West Coast with the intention of converting them and being in business in 60 days. After that, they'll go national.
I wish to hell we knew how they make it. Yeah, we could copy it. What I meant to say is we could improve on it.
Apparently, we've had no luck in analyzing the ingredients and no luck in getting close to anybody inside the company.
That's why I've asked Mo Rutherford to come here today.
Look, are you sure we want to get mixed up with industrial spies?
Hey, look, I want results, and he's the best there is. And it's men like Mo Rutherford that help us stay in business.
Yes, I suppose we do have to keep the world safe for ice cream.
So they taste this, and it becomes this marketing phenomenon, and it starts to outsell yogurt, ice cream. It starts out as a dessert, then it becomes the main meal, essentially, for many American families. And these ice cream companies, these major conglomerates, are distraught because their sales are dwindling, and no one really even knows the stuff that's in the stuff. And they hire this one detective who is a kind of a corporate detective of some sort.
I remember him being a tough guy. And back then, obviously, you know, seeing it now, it's like, you know, it's kind of funny. But back then, I was like, man, this guy's pretty tough.
Mo Rutherford, and he's played by Michael Moriarty. You know, I think Michael Moriarty has never been given his due. Because he's an actor, he's been in tons of movies, especially he's a favorite of the director of this movie, Larry Cohen, who's done Q, The Winged Serpent, It's Alive, and he was a star of Law and Order for a while, too. He's this kind of bizarre character actor. He's very different in the way he approaches things, kind of like Christopher Walken, this very different approach to the way he delivers his lines. And I think, no, he wasn't tough, you're right, but I think he's the one who got what this movie was about. He understood that it was a B movie. He knew that he wasn't in anything too serious when you're talking about bubbling fluffernutter from the Earth's surface.
I totally agree. Like, something that really didn't take form as far as something that people would think could harm them. So he took this concept and kind of made it scary because, like, for a person like me who's never seen horror before, I mean, you kind of hear about Frankenstein, Dracula, and those things are pictured in your mind. You take something that typically wouldn't scare an individual and made it sort of scary type of film. And he kind of played that role like, you know, he definitely was trying to, I guess, conquer a being that obviously was taking over people's minds and things like that.
That's exactly what this stuff does. After they hire Mo Rutherford to look into the purpose behind the stuff or how the stuff is becoming such a phenomenon, he starts to dig deeper and deeper and realizes that it is some mind-controlling substance that it has. It's an actual natural product of the Earth that is... It's almost like The Happening. I was thinking about this when we were watching it together. You haven't seen The Happening yet, and I had the unfortunate job to see that. I'm not ruining it for anybody, but the Earth gets pissed at its humans and essentially wants to shake them off. And this seems like it's kind of doing the same thing.
The movie does not give you any type of description of who created this. It's from the Earth, so obviously it's like no meteorite or something that's there, and they're eating this stuff. It's from the Earth.
I don't think it had the budget to go in the backstory.
You're right.
It reminded me a lot of the premise in Halloween 3, probably the most underrated Halloween movie out there. Did you see that one?
Is that the one without Michael Myers?
Yes, Season of the Witch, yeah. It was called. It came out a couple years prior to, but it was about Silver Shamrock, and their desire was to promote these Silver Shamrock masks and have every child wear them, and they were going to destroy all children.
I remember that.
They had the little jingle, which was actually similar to the one in the stuff, where they went 8 more days till Halloween, Halloween. And it was similar to the jingle, which is featured throughout the stuff.
It was pretty distinctive. I can definitely relate to that. But the funny thing was, I didn't remember the jingle prior to the review of the movie until the jingle came during the movie. Then all of a sudden, vividly remember that sound.
We're in Andre's exclusive Continental restaurant, which caters to only the most discriminating clientele.
How's the food, sweetheart? That's nice.
Where's the stuff?
The stuff is here now. Great new day sensation. Light and free now. We'll get you elevation. Enough is never enough. Enough is never enough of the stuff.
The stuff. The taste that makes you hungry for more. The stuff. Taste that delivers.
Enough is never enough. Enough is never enough of the stuff.
And the commercials themselves were so steeped in the 80s, I was half expecting, God, what was that guy's name? Alfonso. He later went in Silver Spoons. Remember, he was the kid who did the moonwalking with Michael Jackson?
Yes, I remember him.
I was half expecting him to come out. Who should come and greet us but Clara Peller from the Where's the Beef commercials?
Which I totally forgot, but obviously when I saw it, I remember that vividly because I was like, oh yeah, that's right, she wasn't there.
It also had a number of character actors who I completely forgot about. It also starred Danny Aiello, who was Sal from Do the Right Thing, and Paul Sorvino from Goodfellas in there.
Which, obviously, they played a very significant role in film toward the end. And it's funny because I didn't remember what movie they were from until I actually saw them in, obviously, in 1985. Obviously, their appearance is different than what they were in the movie that I remember them in.
You've been a good boy, Ben. I've got a treat for you. In fact, I have a treat for both of us. We deserve it, don't we?
An interesting thing after a little bit of digging around that I found was Scott Bloom was the little kid who was antagonized by his parents to eat the stuff, become one of them, kind of like Invasion of the Body Snatchers type thing. And his older brother in this is his actual real life older brother named Brian Bloom. And Brian Bloom was the voice of the Silver Surfer.
I did not know that.
The stuff continues to have an effect on cinema today.
Chocolate Chip Charlie! Well, I sure as hell ain't the Kentucky Colonel. Get off of me.
I'm sorry. What are you doing down here in a town like this? Big executive like you.
I'm trying to find out something about the sons of bitches who stole my company out from under me and threw me out on my beautiful black ass. You work for them, huh?
I'm investigating them, same as you are.
Yeah, those shits. Somehow, man, they got to my asshole brother and my two idiot nephews and everybody else I trusted would stop. And they brainwashed them, man. Next thing I knew, they was in and I was out.
Yeah, okay, Charlie. Well, now, did you find anything out?
What you gonna find out, man, in a town that has just been dried up and blown away, man?
Let's talk for a second about Garrett Morris. Because as we were watching this, both you and I said, wow, I thought he had a bigger role in this. I remember him having a bigger role.
Yeah, that's the funny thing you say that. I didn't mean to cut you off. But you're right. I mean, he didn't show up until probably in the middle of the film, and then you lose track of him, and he comes back at the end of the film. But the time he was in there, he captured most of the screen when he was in there. I mean, he had a very distinctive character when they did show him.
Exactly what I was going to say. I think that was a testament to what a screen presence he had, because here both of us remembered the scenes involving Garrett Morris, and yet here he was only on screen for 5 minutes.
And the funny thing is, and I'm obviously going to bring back race again, he wasn't the first black person to die, because obviously there's a lot of humor going through the fact that, like, all these old horror movies, the black guy is always the first guy to die.
Exactly, and he probably had more charisma than half the family that we were following. And Garrett Morris, unfortunately, his most recent role was in Who's Your Caddy, for crying out loud. Sad, sad, sad state of affairs.
Hey, look, he's here. So what are you looking at?
Is that dinner?
We're dieting. I've lost 5 pounds already this week, and I've never felt better.
Why are you talking like you're on a commercial?
Here, Jason, take some.
You know what I said about that? That was the truth. And you know that there is something alive in there.
Jason, I mean, there's something alive in yogurt. It's called benign bacteria.
Yes.
I mean, there's something alive in a loaf of bread. It's yeast. I mean, that's a living organism.
Mm-hmm,
we eat plenty of things that are still alive that are good for us.
I know that, but that was moving.
All microorganisms move, Jason. I mean, if you could see them with the naked eye.
Yeah.
I mean, under a microscope, you can see them move. So what's the difference? They're good for us, Jason. They kill the bad things inside us.
For as B-movie as some of it is, it still had some pretty funny dialogue in it, and it had to be intentional. When Mo says, no one is as dumb as I appear to be, or the little kid tries to fool his parents, he decides to fake them out and eat an entire cup of Barbasol shaving cream. And the father's first reaction was, well, everyone has to eat shaving cream once in a while. As if that's just accepted.
They had some good lines in there. And obviously the classic one is, I can't remember exactly the word, the one Mo used all the time during the whole thing. That was his catchphrase.
Because he always asked for Mo money.
They called my parents named Mo because I always want Mo. That was pretty funny just listening to it a second time.
He should be suing the Wayans brothers for that one.
Well, I'll be a son of a bitch. You know, Mr.
Rutherford, Mo Rutherford. You know why they call me Mo?
No, why?
Because every time people give me money, I always want Mo.
Well, you know, Mr. Rutherford.
Yes, sir.
I don't think you're quite as dumb as you appear to be.
No one is as dumb as I appear to be.
I made a big statement about, I mean, two things I was very disappointed in with the movie is, one is, that was a movie that I'm very surprised never made a sequel. They made sequels for a lot of other movies that they should have made a first movie.
Beastmaster.
Yeah, exactly. That movie could have had a sequel. You know, it left you open-ended because it left a lot of questions unanswered. A second movie would have been definitely a benefit for the people that saw the first. And like I was telling you, I would love to wear a t-shirt that had this stuff on it. Because there's a certain few people that are movie fanatics, like, saying, I can turn on myself and you. We'd be like, whoa, look at that shirt. You know, they would understand it. And a lot of the other public would have no clue.
Our other friend, Jason, who was watching this with us, brought this up too. And he said, this is what they should redo. This is prime cut for remaking. Not The Birds, not Friday the 13th, not Halloween Rob Zombie, but something like this.
And it's funny because this could relate to a lot of people that are into these cravings, like the Southeast diet, the carb diet, because a lot of this was brought into this movie about oh, yeah, there's no calories. Nobody knew what was in this thing. Yeah, I lost so many pounds by eating this stuff. It's like one of those things where you see all these vitamins and all this other crap that people are taking because of whatever things that they supposedly supposed to do that nobody knows that they do. This would definitely be something that I think a lot of people can relate to.
Especially if you look at the number of drug advertisements we have on television these days. It's so easy to jump on that bandwagon of quick fixes out there. And why not have something that's light, fluffy, and looks like a pillow be our main meal for the day?
The key word nowadays is vitamins and antioxidants. I still have no clue what the hell an antioxidant is. It's funny because I met a meeting with this guy, and he's like, oh, yeah, this is antioxidants. It's grown in Brazil. You drink two cups of these, it'll take care of everything.
Have somebody tell you what a calorie is. What is a calorie? Or tell me what retin is now that Sertz has retin. Or what are your electrolytes? What do they do? If you're going to remake this movie, damn it, put Garrett Morris in there. Put him in there. He deserves it.
Oh, yeah. He definitely stole the show.
Now, I hope these stains come out.
What the hell's the matter with that boy anyway?
Look at that. Not a spot. Low in calories, good tasting, and it doesn't even spot. And he doesn't like it.
Parting thoughts on this, after watching this again, after 20 years or so, separation from it, any final thoughts about it?
I wouldn't be surprised if I end up buying it for my personal collection. I wouldn't mind trying to develop a script for a stuff too, to try to see if somebody will either reenact that or even remake it. Because I think, like you just said, it has a lot of potential, and I think it definitely could do well in the theater. Two concepts that I think really relate to everybody. Like Freddy Krueger was another movie that obviously scared me because of the fact that it was in your dreams. You really can't combat that. Okay. And then obviously you have to sleep, you have to mostly dream. Second thing, you have to eat. And this thing was in food that people couldn't help but eating. And then a lot of addictions with people that like candy or, you know, other things that they just can't stop eating. So those are two things that kind of puts that fear into people because of the fact that it's either in the food or it's in your dreams. That's why I think something like this would definitely go pretty well in this day and age when food and consumption is one of the major things that's always talked about in the news and across, I think, across the world.
There was a scene in the film that was also reminiscent to Nightmare on Elm Street, and it was shot the same exact way, where there was a man that was plastered up against the wall by the stuff, and it envelops him and takes him over and takes the entire room over. And that was done...
So you're talking about the blood scene from the guy that was Johnny Depp, correct?
Exactly, exactly. It was the dream sequence with Johnny Depp was shot the same exact way, where he was sucked down into a bed and spewed out onto the ceiling. And it was done using this room that was upside down that the director had turned on its head, and therefore all this jello or tapioca pudding or whatever the hell it was, fire extinguisher, foam, would ooze up the side of the wall and take this guy.
I didn't notice that until you told me. Because you obviously, like, hit it right on the nail. You were like, I know how they did that. And when we rewound it, you were like, yeah, you're right. So it just shows how much further along you are in cinematography.
No, what that shows is how sad my life really is, Laurent. Thank you very much for your time. I know it is valuable. I know you're a busy man, and I appreciate you reflecting on the stuff.
Well, I have to obviously give you a shout-out and say thank you for having me reenact my horrors of my early youth and have now brought me back to not drinking, taking yogurt again, so or mayonnaise or pudding. I appreciate that.
Glad to scare the hell out of you, brother. And I will be looking for Stuff 2 Stuffer in theaters 2010.
That's right. You like cinema.
Thank you, my friend.
All right, buddy. Have a good night.
I appreciate it, and come join us again for another edition of Natsukashi.
Good night.
The stuff is here now. Great new day sensation. Light and free now. We'll get you elevation. Enough is never enough. Enough is never enough of the stuff.
The stuff. The taste that makes you hungry for more. The stuff. Taste that delivers.
Enough is never.